All right, ladies and gentlemen, folks in the chat room, hopefully you got your drinks, you went to the bathroom. I know everyone here did that except for me because I have the bladder of a man of my size.
And an adult diaper.
And two adult diapers, actually. I double diapered tonight.
Good thinking.
So if you are in the chat room, this is show two. I want to make sure you guys know this is show two. This is the Not Safe for Work show. This is going to be a water cooler show talking about what ended up pissing myself and Chris and a number of people off after the game versus Oakland. The fan base who had been so excited and so ready to buy tickets for away games and so on board and ardently pounding their chest about what a credible fan base this was and how dare Coach Cutter call them out for not being in the stands. We are in the stands and we're there. And immediately after an overtime loss to a team that was picked to be a very strong player in the AFC, who has a good record with an excellent quarterback, two of the best receivers in the game, they had summarily dismissed our franchise quarterback, who is now a bust, who can't play the game. We so should have taken Mariota or anyone else, to be honest. We could. Glennon has not been called for yet, but I'm sure that's right.
No, that is not true. Oh. I literally saw a tweet that said Mike Glennon would have been better in this game than Jameis Winston.
There you go.
Guarantee you I saw that.
There you go. Look at that. We also had the cavalcade, which should be expected anytime there's a game that is like this, of folks saying that McCoy is terrible. He takes plays off. He doesn't care. He's only interested in self-preservation. He got his contract. He can't beat singles. He's a ghost at the end of games. I think I covered most of the high points. Chris, you went on a tirade about that. Did I miss any of the McCoy meaty bits?
I think that's... not worth the money. Trade him. Get what you can for him now. I think you got everything.
All right.
No smiling this week.
Yeah, no. Yeah, stop smiling. Don't help people up.
Oh, he got hit on the Matt Ryan thing because he said he's complimented Matt Ryan. So he said he's going to kill him during the game, but he's going to shake his hand after, and he got killed on that, too.
I can't believe that son of a bitch would say something nice about Matt Ryan, because aren't they mortal enemies? I mean, isn't that the way it works? It's like the Jets and the Sharks with the Bucks and the Falcons when they're off the field, too. Like, they see each other in a club, and it's like Bloods and Crips. It's like the movie NWA and fighting on an escalator.
I thought it was more along the lines of in Anchorman when they fight in the park.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, shout out to Peter Report message boards. Someone started a thread, said, cut McCoy, right? Is that what it was? It was like two pages of, I saw that today. That was fun.
Let me check that. I don't.
Yeah.
Well, Shuck in the chat room just said, listen, the Joe Bucks fan comments were completely, as our Bostonian friends would say, fucking retarded. And some of the comments from the PR
message boards. Trade McCoy, not cut McCoy.
We're no better as well. So at this point, we've also got the running back stuff. If Skip Brown's still around, I think he is. Our running back depth is terrible, and Skip believes that because he thinks Charles Sims is, generally speaking, terrible. So we can talk about that. Coach Cutter doesn't know how to call a game. Coach Cutter doesn't know how to manage the clock. Coach Smith's defense is terrible. Our entire defensive backfield is horrible. We did nothing in free agency. Jason Light should be fired for nothing more than drafting Aguayo, but also for not doing anything to bolster the weaknesses of this team. I think they also want to change the paint job at One Buck Place. I think that's the list that we've got to work from. So
they didn't try and add weapons around Jameis.
Cornerbacks are all bad. They did not try to add weapons for Jameis, right? So we'll pull up the draft. We'll pull up the free agency, what was brought in, what wasn't brought in, the things that worked out, the things that didn't work out. Now, I want to make sure we drop some data behind all this, guys, right? Even the folks at this table who spend an inordinate amount of time following this team and watching the nuances and going back and rewatching the game. By the way, I asked that question in the first hour of the show of our chat room people, how many of you went back and watched the coaches film in any week? One person said they did. One of rabid Bucks fans. This is not a general population, right? These are rabid Bucks fans. Now, I certainly can't extrapolate that to the entire population. And Pinnacle, I'm giving you the love right there. And Greg, don't worry about draft talk. What we're going to talk about is what the Bucks have done to try and do this. Now, most of us have no idea what the Raiders did at the same time, or what the Browns did, or what the Chiefs did, right? Because we don't follow them to this level. We are going to be biased in depth towards our team. I would assert, if any of you out there know as much about this team as the three people here, the fact that you haven't been on the show would say you're full of shit. Right, I love all of you, but I've had football discussions with almost all of you, right? So, and that doesn't make you a bad person at all. That just means you're a fan, and you haven't had time, or you don't dedicate the time, or whatever it is. If you've got that kind of depth, then you should be on the show. We should be talking off air, and we should be getting you on here. We can do some whiteboard stuff. I remember sitting with some great fans and then them talking about the Lovey defense and the Tampa 2 and all this sort of stuff, and I asked anyone that wanted to diagram it on a napkin, and no one could, right? Because football knowledge isn't common knowledge, people. You can be a fan and not know your ass from a fucking hole in the ground about X's and O's of football. And by the way, most don't. Now, I know other people won't talk to you like this because they're too busy wanting your fucking clicks on their websites and your bullshit downloads of their crap podcasts, right? But you can't just keep spouting dumb shit and not get called out for saying dumb shit from people on this podcast. With that introduction, the phone lines are open. 813-964-7364. Bring data or stay the fuck off the phone.
Nook Mark, this is me here. Wait, what was my name?
No, it was
Nook Mook.
Yeah, Nark Mook.
Nark Mook is Mook here. Yeah, Mark Cook left. He's driving home. This is Nark Mook.
Yes. It's crazy because, you know, I look and sound a lot like the Mark Cook.
Are you guys
AKA
related?
Gingerbread. We're not. That's the crazy thing.
And you're blonde, so you can't be related, right? That's how genetics work.
Right.
Because I'm an expert in genetics because I saw hair, just like some people are experts in, say, defensive scheme because they...
You saw hair, of all things.
Well, I mean, let's... I know Mark Cook might not be able to answer this question, but Nark Nook or whatever may. So
just coming.
We'll start with number 93.
I like Nook Nook. Let's do Nook Nook. That's
easy. We'll remember that one.
So I say start with number 93, right? That's been the focus of Twitter outrage after this week, right?
Didn't Report up. Message board. By the way, I'd encourage people to go and spout off their thoughts on things like that too on our message boards. But I just read the 3-page thread as you guys were talking, and the only comment I made at the very end was, this thread just made my head explode. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, I think the notion is that Gerald is paid a lot of money to not show up is what the overall impression is of the fan base who don't like the fact that he makes all this money as a defensive tackle. Well, if you look at the overall market, that's what defensive tackles are paid when you're one of the best in the league.
Yeah.
It's false because if you go back and watch this last game, plenty of opportunities. You're not going to get a sack as a defensive tackle because the guys on the other side of the ball also are paid to block you as well. Right?
And again, this
wait a
was
minute, there
one
are guys
the...
that block him. Yeah. And how's their offensive line considered
again,
this year?
It's the best in the NFL statistically. This Raiders offensive line was the best in the NFL.
Yeah, but they get paid too much money to allow those 7 sacks this year to Derek Carr.
Yeah. Yeah, they're bums too.
So, I mean, what's the...
Wait. Something we forgot to bring up.
What's
I'm
that?
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Didn't we all know that Donald Penn was going to catch... whenever they said 72 is reporting, didn't we all know that ball was going to him?
And I knew he was going to get a holding call, and I knew he was going to get a 15-yard penalty in this game as well.
And you knew he was going to stone whoever was across from him the rest of the plays.
Yeah, sure.
Because that's what he did here. Sure. And I know that Bucks Princess is still there. She hates Donald Penn.
Yeah.
I was one of the few guys who still love Donald Penn.
Donald Penn does not
touchdown.
Love Mark Cook. He loves Nook Nook.
Yeah. No, he likes Nook Nook.
Yeah,
he's
a big fan of Nook Nook.
Yeah. So I was going to ask Nark about Gerald McCoy. So from an overall team standpoint and from, you know, they brought this guy back, paid him a lot of money. If not, he would have gone somewhere else and made a lot of money.
Right.
Do you see what you've seen and you've talked to players and things, do you see him making the type of impact this season that he has in previous years? Is he asked to be doing different things, and what's the overall vibe around him at $1? See, yeah. I pulled my Derek there.
You did.
No, I mean, you know.
What's the temperature at $1?
From talking to Mark Cook about this, you know, he said, he told me.
Can I get one of those elderberry ciders for this session?
He told me that.
I was already elbow deep in this fridge. Sounds like a high school date. Whoa, hey now. You're definitely not posting this.
No, and, you know, from what Mark told me, everybody loves Gerald, likes what he's doing. And listen, he's still the first guy out, one of the last guys to leave. He's the first guy to help guys out. I mean, he is a leader on this football team. And, you know, look, does everybody love him? Are he and Jameis best buds and running around hanging out for practice? No, they don't have to be, and it doesn't matter. But he's a well-respected and liked player, and the coaching staff loves the guy.
So there's someone who else is a writer on that site, PewterReport.com. Mm-hmm. His name's Mott Reynolds, Scott Reynolds.
Yeah,
and
we call him Mott.
I pulled up one of his latest columns. I think it's the answers that people suggest after the Fab Five. And I think, personally, he made a couple good points in regards to the impact that Gerald has had to some of the offensive linemen that are also on the team.
Sure.
The fact that Ali Marpet has to go against this guy day after day.
Mm-hmm.
And Caleb Beninok, who's now learning things. So maybe the fact that some people don't understand the full scope or the full impact that a player like Gerald has had on the rest of the football team, right? Because it's not only those guys. Look, Gerald McCoy's got, what, 3 sacks this year, if you want to look at just the stat lines, yep. right? Mm-hmm. I understand that. But he's also tied for the team lead with that. So all these other players who were supposed to, if Gerald's getting doubled.
He missed time.
Yeah, he missed a game as well.
He missed a time.
Yeah. So if all these other players are so great, and I know that some of them have missed time as well, but if there's doubles on Gerald, then well, someone else should be making a play, right? But it's all going to come back on him. But from I'm assuming he's having a big impact as well on some of those offensive guys.
Sure.
Right? So I'm sure they talk about that and the fact that they're learning from this guy.
Yeah, no, they are. And you know, and that's just a fact. I mean, when you have a guy that's good. Listen,
what is this fact thing you speak of?
It's
I'm very confused. You just said a word that threw me into a tailspin.
You know, I'll just say unless everybody I've talked to is lying to me, then it's a fact at this point. Because, again, if 75% of people tell me something, I'm going to almost go with it being a fact. But if 100% tell me, then I am going to go with it as a fact. And the fact is, he makes a difference on this football team. Now, again, we talked about this right before the show started.
Mm-hmm.
Look. On the grand scheme of things, is he worth, you know, if it's $20 million, whatever it is this year, could you make an argument that, hey, if you could get a number one for this guy and use that money and free agency and so on and so forth, you know, if you want to make that argument, I think that's a fair argument to present. I still wouldn't do it, maybe, but I think, and he is, look, he's not at the end of his career, but he's certainly at his prime.
We have a call
prime.
From Orlando, ladies and gentlemen. See who's on the line.
Probably Chris Fisher.
Hello, welcome to the What the Buck Show. I'm going to have to check levels with you real quick. Who do we have on the line?
Yo, this is the Pinnacle 3, Robert Green.
Pinnacle 3 is in the house.
Robert's too logical. He can't be on and call. He actually makes good points.
You guys in the chat room, let me know how levels are with Robert on the phone line. I don't want to screw this up because this is really important. Go ahead, Robert.
Yo, and first and foremost, I want to thank you, Cass, for putting on the show. Great show. Again, logical thinking, critical analysis, appreciated. And also for opening up the lines for fans and so forth. So a lot of stuff, and I'm saying the stuff, man, with this Bucks team and some of their fans. I mean, these guys, a lot of these people who are making the most noise don't even support the team, so they're not really fans. Like, a lot of this stuff is coming from damn near outsiders. People who are just following the team and just basically making their name off of being able to say the Bucks this, the Bucks that. So
right.
A lot of this stuff doesn't make sense. And the thing with the Gerald McCoy thing, and I've gotten on Gerald McCoy as well. Like, I was a part of that conversation where,
sure.
you know, a lot of people would just make a favorite about Gerald McCoy. He was the favorite. He was the face of the franchise, and this he was. And people would just say that he was all by himself. Everybody else sucks. People just have an issue with picking out their favorite players and then shitting on everyone else.
Sure.
Like, that sucks. Like, they don't really care about the team. They care about their guy. And then they shit on everyone else. The same thing is happening with our franchise quarterback, Jameis Winston. Everything is someone else's fault. Jameis has the same ups and downs as every quarterback in the league. He has a good receiver, then he has other role players. And for some reason, everybody wants to either give all the praise to Jameis Winston or give him all the blame. For some reason, people can't find the middle ground, and it's such hilarious bullshit.
Well, what's interesting about that, Pinnacle, is for a quarterback, you're going to get all the praise or all the blame. That's the way the quarterback position rolls. When you listen to quarterbacks, you listen to Jameis. He acknowledges that. When you're the leader of the team and the quarterback by default is the leader of the team, you're going to get disproportionate amounts of praise and disproportionate amount of bullshit. Now, I think in defense of people that are attacking Jameis in some ways, you've got to realize when you're a quarterback, just like I used to bust the chops of receivers, your job, right, on your resume, first responsibility, catch the fucking ball. If you're a quarterback, first responsibility, deliver a catchable ball, right?
Right.
And so when you look at the play to the option route in overtime, Anton Smith comes out, he's wide open. All he has to do, he could have kneed the ball to him, right? Your franchise quarterback can't fuck that throw up. So even if he had a great game to that point, that throw you cannot miss, right? So
right.
So some of that's good, but your points are good when Ryan Winfrey in the chat room wants to ask, you said these are people who don't even support the team, right? What do you mean by support the team? How do you, Pinnacle, define supporting the team?
Supporting the team, to me, I mean, for me, it's to support the team. It's not about spending money. It's not about going to games because everybody can't afford to do so. But when you support the team, you basically give insight on the good and the bad. If you're just if your deal with the team is that you want to jump in and say what they're going to get, you know, get good at one point, and then only at that point, and then immediately turn around and say, well, shit, they lost their game, so let me start bashing them so I can get ahead of the curve. That's what I'm seeing a lot of. That's what I'm seeing when I say.
So you don't want fanboys. You want people that are impartial, right? And I think that the reality of the situation is we talk about that a lot, and a lot of the super fans that we talk to talk about, you know, not going to the game or not doing this, that, and the other. You need all kinds of fans to support a team. You need the people that are diehards. You need the people that are super well-informed. You need the randos who come and fill the stadium, or you end up with a stadium that's not full. And you know, for all the people that bitch about club seats, guess what? Club and luxury suites are what keep the finances of the club working, right? General admission doesn't that. So it's interesting, though. So anyway, Pinnacle, you got any heat about what about these other myths? You got something you want to do here? Otherwise, we're going to move on. 715 tried to call in here. He tried to call in the first hour. I apologize to that person if you're in the chat room, by the way, if you're in the 715 area code.
Dude, like I said before, I can only laugh at some of these myths, some of these things that are going around. I have to laugh at them because I swear to Moses, it makes me fucking want to cry if I don't fucking laugh at them.
I swear to Moses.
That, don't swear to Moses. You hear, man, come on.
Some of the shit that you hear and you read is just goddamn kicking puppy mad. You just have no clue when they come up with this shit.
I love Robert.
But you just keep hearing it over and over. So, I mean,
Robert was on my former podcast when I used to do voicemails and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. You know? Wait a minute. You did voicemails a while back, right?
Robert's got the best voice of any. And I love Peter from Germany, but
Robert's got that silky smooth voice. Well, Robert, a.k.a. Pinnacle, we appreciate it, brother. Hope you can sit through the entire however long we rant about this and add more heat to the fire.
Hey, yo, man, again, I appreciate you guys, all of you, and thank you for your work.
All right. Take care, brother. Yeah. All right, like I said, whoever was in the 715, I apologize. I had to say no to you in the first hour, and then you called right after we connected the Pinnacle. So if you're a 715 caller and you want to get back in here, 813-964-7364. Dreamscape Studios in the chat room says, without Fanboy Wallach, our team is moving to Vegas. This is a good point, right? And it's not on our myths and all the other stuff, but we had another fan base, and I mentioned this on the preview show. We have a lot of friends in Oakland. We had friends who were upset that we had the audacity to say on a flyer that had, say, 40 words to say, remember to bring your Las Vegas tickets. They know us. They know how much we have respect for teams and where they're supposed to be and what it means to them. That's how personal this thing called football to us is, right? We're like FSU fans. FSU is not going anywhere. The biggest risk that a program could have like that is like with UT when they abandon a program and never bring it back, right? But the Bucks could move, just like you never. Oh, Oakland's never going to move. Well, they moved to LA, and then they moved back, and now they may go to Vegas. Right? This is a very real thing, and I honestly don't know what the hell I would do. You know, it's brutal, right?
We would move.
Greg DeCruz says he thinks Cutter was wrong to call out the fans. Why is that, Greg? Because I'd call out the fans too. Because I think the fans in this town suck balls. They're absolutely terrible. Here's the thing that we put a pin in earlier.
I don't think he called him out, though. He just said, hey, don't sell your tickets,
he
man.
Said, he said, let's keep the black shirts out of the lower bowl.
Let's fill the stadium up because it makes a difference. He said
we
it absolutely
want your
makes
help.
A difference.
He implored the fans. We didn't do what the Lightning did. This is not our 715 caller, so. Hello, welcome to the podcast. Who do we got here?
Hey, Derek, it is Brent Allen, host of the PewterCast. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, Brent, good to have you on the show. 715, if you call in, I'm going to have to say no to you again, so you're in line behind Brent. What's going on, Brent? What's your thoughts here?
How's Mulberry?
Man, hey.
That's South
Lakeland. Yeah, what's going on, guys?
That's South Lakeland, brother.
I wanted to comment on something that Robert just said, and I'm not sure if it's exactly what he meant, but asking the question of what does it mean to support this team, and I wanted to bounce off of that just a little bit, because to me, supporting the team does not mean to just support them in the good and the bad. It seems like that a lot of the fans and even some of the other people who cover the Bucks get this badge of honor to be brutally honest and to like they just wear it like, oh, I'm gonna badmouth the team when they suck and just harp on the team. That's not, in my opinion, supporting the team. Now, I'm not saying that we've got to blow smoke up everyone's ass and we can't get emotional or upset when, you know, the team underperforms, but supporting the team does not look like bashing them every time something goes wrong and losing your ever loving mind.
Brent, flying
off the end of saying, we've got to fire this person or get rid of this person, or, oh, now Jameis sucks. Now, he may have not performed in this last game, but that doesn't negate an entire body of work that we've known Jameis for the last year and a half. So, to me, talking about supporting the team, it means that we actually don't badmouth them, like, on and drone on and on and on about it. And you just said it. This fan base sucks. I had a caller on my show this last week who called in. His whole voicemail was about the fan base and the fan base needing to change, and I played it. So, but anyway, that's my big thought of coming off of what we've just been talking about.
Chris, you wanted to respond to Brent?
Well, I mean, and I was going to ask Brent about when he's referring to that. Is that in reference to maybe those who put out content that are catering to get those voices heard or to get those clicks or to get those downloads, or is that in reference to the fan base itself? Who are whatever the term was that you used, but referring back to, you know, complaining or trying to, you know, just go off on the team itself or focusing on players.
I'd say it's both because they're feeding off of each other. Some people are just doing it for clicks. You know, the people that are putting out content, some of those guys are just doing it for clicks and to get people to come through and see what they got to do. Others, that's just kind of, I think, who they are as a person, and they feed off of that energy, and they happen to be putting out content as well. But then there's a whole segment of the fan base that just feeds into that and just seems like, you know, these are the guys that are buying billboards saying fire whoever's the coach of the week, right, around Tampa. So I think it's both.
And Brent, I think here's my thinking with that, because I do think that as a fan base, there or whoever's putting out their opinions, there is a certain section. This goes beyond sports. You will never, and Mark was talking about, or sorry, Narc Nook was talking about politics before. You will never convince certain people that their opinion may not be 100% accurate. You could spit as much data, you could show them as much as you want to show them of actual fact, you're not going to change your mind. But there's these other people that are kind of in limbo as this fan base, and they get pulled in this direction because it's Sunday and the game's over and I want to bitch and I want to call this show and I want to put, you know, I want to listen to T-Kraz and all this and I want to yell. I get that, okay? Mm-hmm. But there's also a portion of the fan base who is open to you changing their mind if you actually can present data. And my biggest issue, I think, is you can't help those people who are stubborn and are not going to listen, because they're honestly, it's now just trolling. It's trying to get a reaction out of you, and it makes them happy when you react to the bullshit that they're putting out, because that's what it is. But there are good fans out there who want to learn and want to be able to, and Derek talked about it earlier, about go and do the homework, and you may not be the biggest expert in the world, but at least take the time, and if you can, put forth the effort, because I think there are people who you can pull and who are going to be reasonable with and understand that, yeah, there's evidence out there to support what you're saying, there's facts, so maybe you're right with that, and maybe I'll stop thinking with my emotions and actually think with my brain.
Go ahead, Brent.
Oh, no, I was going to say, that's exactly what I'm talking about when we talk about the idea of supporting the team. The guys that are just out there about putting out their idea and they're never going to convince them that they're wrong, that's not supporting their team. Those guys are just supporting their own ideas and dictating their own narrative and trying to push that forward, versus the other people who, but you, like I said, it's okay to get emotional. It's okay to get upset when something goes wrong in the immediate nature of it. But as time goes on, you've got to be able to step back and calm down and say, no, I do support this team. Let's look and see what really happened. And Chris, that's really where we miss a lot of the Bus Brief podcast. And
thanks for the plug.
You know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the good content that is continuing to get put out there.
Well, Brent, thanks for calling, man. Make sure you guys check out the PewterCast as well. We appreciate staying in the chat room where you keep talking about this. And with regards to content, I'm going to transition off you there, Brent, while I hang up and let the 715 guy call in. Support good content, right? And I'm not here to bash individual shows. That's not what I do. Everyone out there is trying to pay their mortgage. Just like I don't bash players for what they're doing on the field. They're trying to put turkey on the table Thanksgiving, just like everyone else is, whether you swing a hammer, whether you paint walls. I don't care what you do, right? The thing that is frustrating is, if they weren't making money doing it, they would fucking change, right? Chris, you brought up a great point. If it bleeds, it leads was the thing in news forever. And sports used to be a bastion of sanity away from all the bullshit and every other topic. It was a true what's called meritocracy. The best person plays. The best teams win. We support these things and we learn about it and we talk about it. And what's happened is the TMZification has spread so far and so wide. We're interested in what their wives are doing, who they're fucking, whether they drove in a fancier car than me, if they talk to me at Chili's. We don't pay attention to the game. No one tries to learn anymore. I give Bucks Princess all the credit in the world because anytime I'm around her, she wants to pull out napkins and have me draw diagrams. She doesn't get it the first time all the time. That's not because she's a woman. That's not because she's young. It's because this shit is not fucking easy, ladies and gentlemen, to understand this. And I am guilty of this. I've been doing this for 11 years. And when I started, I was just as fucking dumb as some people are that are still doing shit today. I would come out and say, this is just really simple. I can't believe that Coach X or Y didn't see this. It's so obvious. Guess what? These guys have forgotten more football than anyone at this table combined knows. And we know a lot more than most of the other people that we talk to on a daily basis.
With that said, Mark Cook just texted me. He made it home safely. He said, good. You guys are doing a good job.
Oh, that's excellent.
He was listening on the way in. So that's good.
That's good. Thanks, Nuck Nuck. I appreciate that update.
No problem.
So Vegas Buck fan in the chat room brought up a point, and I don't know area codes. But he said that put wins and the fans will come, they come to see a good product. And I had brought up this narrative before about comparing sports to the casinos. It's great that Vegas Buck fan is the one who's mad about this. When you buy tickets and you support a team, and you buy the jerseys and wear the hat, yes, there is a subsection of society, and we know them all. They are currently Patriots fans. They were previously Steelers fans. They were then, before, Cowboys fans. We know those jagoffs, right? They're front-running douchebags. Those are people that pay to see wins in sports. There's 715 right there. Hey, 715, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing great here in Wisconsin, repping the Bucks.
All right, Wisconsin in the house. What's your name? What's your chat room handle?
Adam, not in the chat room, though.
Okay, Adam, good to have you on the show, man. What do you want to talk about? I feel bad I had to dump you on the first show, and then you came in right behind someone else, so I apologize, man.
Hey, no problem, dude. I just got on the stream, so I just wanted to talk to you about Coach Cutter. Everybody's saying how questioning his play calls, questioning everything. I don't know if you already talked about it, but I think it was the right hire from the start, and I still got his back 100%.
Okay. No, there was certainly some discussion about his play calls, more about his clock management. I think there's some discussion that he got a little scared going into half. He didn't use his timeouts. Very Lovey-esque tones is what I saw on Twitter. Playing conservative, even though he's more of an aggressive play caller in general, which is evidenced by the fact that he took, what, 6 shots downfield, 2 in one possession against bracket coverage. I think that he's certainly still trying to find his way as a head coach and signal caller and trying to find the personality of this team. But even if you don't like what he's done thus far, and Adam, to your point, I don't know that anyone, even me, I was one of the few guys who didn't think Lovey should have been fired, right? And then we're not going to rehash that one. It's a dead topic. But I even said, if Lovey's going to be fired, then he's the right choice. He's got to be the right choice. And God damn it, you got to give him more than 6 weeks to show that he can do this. I cannot believe that it's even a topic of fucking conversation.
Well, and you know what? I was saying this earlier, too. You know, Dirk Cutter didn't have to worry about anything last year except sitting in the box and planning his next series while the defense was on the field, right? I mean, that's what he was doing. He wasn't even, he probably was barely even watching what was going on the field. Now, all of a sudden, and I'm speaking from a guy, and Derek's done this too, where he's play called, certainly not at the NFL level, but that 30 seconds becomes 5 seconds in your brain when you're trying to remember, you know, okay, personnel groupings, who's hurt, you've got other people talking in your ear, you've got other coaches suggesting things, you've got players talking. I mean, it is not an easy thing to do, and this is, I'm speaking from a high school level. Now let's put this at the NFL level, and it's not an easy thing to do. It's very easy for us to, when the play's over, say you should have made another call, and nobody beats themselves up more than Mike Smith and Dirk Cutter when they go back and watch the film. They say, damn it, I missed that. Mike said it the other day. He says, there were some things I would love to have back, some calls I would love to have back. It's a chess match, but it is such a quick thing. I mean, you think, again, boy, I can go grab a beer real quick between plays, but Dirk's not thinking that. Dirk's got a million things going on in his mind. He's going to learn, and he's going to make some mistakes. I think if he had to do over again, maybe he does get a little more aggressive right before the half right there. That was one of the things
easy to say that now. I mean, I also saw some people on Reddit or other forums talking how he was giving up during his press conference after the game, and to me, from what I gather and how Dirk keeps his composure, I love watching his press conferences, especially last year. Mm-hmm. Wednesdays was my favorite day to watch, and he's toned it down a little bit now, But that was some real emotion I saw after the game. I mean,
he was devastated. I've never seen him. I mean, I was sitting in that room. I mean, again, it's only been, what, six games now, but or seven games. But he was that was the most down I've ever seen that guy, certainly. I mean, he was just as distraught as the players in the locker room. Because he realizes they had opportunities, and they just didn't capitalize on
them. They were absolutely on the field, right? And if you go back and watch it, I'm gonna harp on this throughout this entire, you know, some number of minutes that we continue to rant and rave with you guys, because I look at this in a couple of ways. This conversation in show two is about us being able to get some shit off our chest, you being able to get some shit off your chest, and then we need to hit a big fucking reset button, guys. Bucks Nation, Bucks Family, whatever the fuck you call this group of people that support the Bucks, everyone's got a different title for it, right? We all need to get the fuck on now and realize the Raiders game is over and stop bringing all this other crap into it, and let's watch the Bucks play the Falcons. Now, if they go get run out of the building on Thursday, then you can Denny Green the shit out of it. They are who we thought they were. They're terrible. Jameis is an idiot. Go hit the narratives
again. But you know
what? Watch the tape and make sure it's true.
But you know what happens after that game? It's still only half the season. Right now, they have not played a half of a season yet. They've played seven games.
Nuck.
Yeah.
The season's over. You don't realize. The season's over.
In second place.
It's over.
Yes, I know. And if they win Thursday night, they're right back in the heat of the NFC. So they're in it now, but you're right. But by the way, Mark Cook just texted me and said it's 6-3 Cubs right now.
Excellent, excellent. All right, Adam, you got anything else, brother?
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's easy to blame injuries, and we don't have a great run game right now. We lost Vincent Jackson. Lewis Murphy was big in the early part last year. Humphreys has stepped up, but what do you think of the play calling and how our offense is going? I mean, it seemed like right away we were really clicking. The bubble screens were working. The running back screens were working. The deep passing game was working. And granted, if, you know, Jameis makes one throw even, one deep throw that he missed on, totally different game could have been, you know, especially with momentum, the way that works. How do you think Dirk's been handling injuries and how he's running the game script?
I'll jump in first. I think that Dirk in general is still finding out what he's got. When you start as a play caller, you've got a bunch of weapons, right? And I think early in the season, he had all of his weapons. He had planned for those weapons. He knew what he wanted to do with those weapons. And then all of a sudden, you wake up and your weapons are all changed. You got a whole different set of tools, right? 702. I'm gonna have to wait for this one off. We don't do multi lines here. We're not fancy enough to do that. I apologize. 702, call in after this call. So when all your weapons change, you've got to reassess, and I think that's what's happening, right? And the chemistry between a quarterback and a receiver is non-trivial. Route combinations are tough. Understanding spacing, all those sorts of things. Okay.
702, Las Vegas.
702, you're gonna have to hold until this call is over, brother. So I think he's doing pretty good. Do you guys have stuff to add on Cutter as a play caller, Chris, Mark, or Nuck?
No, I think the play calling's, you know, fine. I mean, again, we can second guess a lot of things the day after.
Yeah, hindsight
or right
GMs,
after, but
hindsight play callers, that's all bullshit.
Does it come into game per game? I mean, I know they're installing the game plan, and it seemed to work good in the first half. Coaches went in, they made adjustments. Didn't seem to be going good. How do you think he's doing on a game-to-game basis?
I have no issues with it. I will be emotional like everyone else and immediately call into question what happens, and I go back and watch the game film, because I can do that if I spend $80 and go back and watch it and actually become informed, and then I make a better decision about what my emotional brain, my lizard brain, told me real time when I may have had seven vodkas after the game and I'm pissed. I go back and I watch it intellectually, and I go, wow, this actually, the game plan wasn't bad. The route combinations were good. Got to execute better. I think he's done a good job. I'd give him a solid B.
I agree.
You guys? Anyone?
Here's a word of advice for those out there that don't want to spend $80 on the Game Pass. You can do like your Netflix account. You and your buddy can split it $40 a piece.
You want my login?
I got a login.
You guys are terrible.
I'll sell it cheap.
I'm an IP. I'm not going to support that. All right. Hey, Adam, thanks for calling, man. Stay warm up there. I'm going to take this next call.
I love the show. Thank
all right.
You.
Take care. Bye.
Dirk, seven games in.
All right, 702. I finally took you back in. I kept saying to hold on. Who is this on the 702?
It's Craig in Vegas.
Holy cow. Let me drop your levels down. It's hot. Hold on.
You're currently in the casino.
Craig,
have
you ever met Chumley from Pawn Stars?
No. Well, my parents did.
By the way.
When they were out here.
I was watching that before I came. That's why I was late, Derek. Sorry.
All right.
I mean, that's why Mark Cook was late. Nuck doesn't like that show.
All right, we got Craig on the line. Craig, what you got for us, man?
What's up? Hey, Derek, I met you at the Arizona game.
Yeah, I remember, brother.
So I think the biggest frustration is just the constant losing at home. My parents sit in the West Club. They've got the 10-year agreements and all that stuff too. People are just, I'm tired of feeling bad leaving that stadium when they were there for we were there, you know, Houlihan Stadium. We were there at Tampa Stadium back in the day. I mean, you know, I've been there in 76, 77. I've been through all the bad stuff. And it's like that, the book that's out there right now, The Yucks.
Yep. By Jason
Vick. Back again. It's a really good read. It's almost like history's repeating itself. And people are getting tired of at least the hardcore long-term Bucks fans. And I think that's the biggest frustration is you want to see some improvement. You just know, like, you don't want to go 0-4 at home. We were 0-8 at home just 2 years ago. It's 18 of 21. It's like you want to feel good. I mean, the road record lately has actually been good. So for us Buckaholics on the West Coast, it's been okay this year. But in general, is people want to feel good. They want to feel like they spent their money on something. And that's maybe why the Lightning are drawing well as well, too, because they have a good feeling when you leave the building. But coming into this tomorrow night, after what happened, that team just got drubbed by just being on the field too long. You see everybody dropping, you know, like flies on the injuries as well, too. And I feel bad for Jason Light, too. The guy's trying to make moves to get this team better. I don't think he did enough in the offseason to help out in certain areas. But every move right now, it almost is backfiring on him.
What moves
Vince
did you
Jackson,
want him?
Jackson, Aguayo,
what,
all that as well,
what,
too.
What moves did you want him to make that he didn't make? Which free agents were you in conversations with?
I think they needed anything on the wide receiver would have helped. Just one more, just with the injury patterns they had with those guys, with Lewis Murphy coming back. You had Kenny Bell with off a tear hamstring. The guy looked great in shorts, but we know when the guy put the pads on. They didn't have anybody to take the top off as well, too. And listen, Evans is unbelievable this year. You can't argue the way the guy's playing. But with the injury pattern they had, I didn't even agree with Bobby Rainey as well, too, because Doug Martin's only had two healthy seasons. Sims has only had one healthy season. You know, you've got to be able to have plan B and C just in this league with the injuries that happen. Listen, it's catastrophic right now at the running back point. But I just don't think they gave enough weapons on the outside for Jameis. And listen, Jameis was awful last game. You know, I went back and I listened to the game, and, you know, I can hear it on the radio, you know, a lot of high and wides as well, too. But I just wanted more weapons around on the offense. On the defense, listen, they're trying all they can with what they have. You know, they're implementing a new scheme. I get that's going to take a while a little bit as well, too. And then, you know, they lost in their pass rush as well, too, with some injuries. But in general, I just thought they needed more weapons around Jameis when you spend that kind of, you know, number one overall pick. And the guy's going to be an unbelievable quarterback. I just think they need more than one receiver right now.
All right, so, Craig, I want to ask a couple questions, and Chris wants to jump in here. Did you just say that you were basing your Jameis assessment on listening to it on the radio?
Listening, and I came on and watched the game. I don't listen. I didn't watch the All 22. I watched the video.
You have watched the entire game, though. You didn't listen to the radio and come back and watch, like, highlights.
Yes, yeah, so okay. I watched it, yes.
My head cracked open.
There were some underthrows as well, too, in the game. He missed. He was just off a little bit that game.
Sure.
Well, no, I wanted to. I think we started the conversation talking about the home losses, right?
Right.
So I think as fans, and I get the frustration, I understand it. And this is what I talked about earlier, might have been hour one. Okay. This year has been different when it comes to the three games that we have played at home. Okay. Now, I think fans think back to 2 years ago when Lovie Smith's first year and the dumb shit that was happening, the Gilkey snaps and Josh McCown getting killed in the 0-8 record at home.
He just
home.
Got sacked again.
Right. I get that. So that, I think people are still attributing what's happening this year to 2 years ago because it's still fresh. I mean, Lovie Smith only made it 2 years. So I get it. And then what they win last year at home, 3 games, 3-5 last year, whatever it was at home. This is a different situation right now, in my opinion, because I still go back and I look at when I started going to home games and I started really falling in love with this football team is when Dungy was coming in and they were adding components to the team that you knew eventually they were going to get it turned around. That's where I still think this team is. I think a lot of times in the offseason and coming into the season, there's way too many high expectations on this team before they've even suited up and played a regular season football game. So this, to me, I don't get as frustrated as it is right now. They're playing competitive football against decent football teams. The product, they're not winning, but I think if you can't see the trend pointing upward, then I don't understand it.
Mark, you want to, or no, yeah, not,
Chris,
hold on,
Chris,
hold on, Craig,
with,
Craig, Craig, Craig,
saying,
Craig, Craig,
but
Craig.
You got to win a game
mute
you're
you,
better
Craig.
Than the team, especially Craig. The Rams game. That was a must win.
Craig, hold on a second. Knock wants to weigh in here. Then go
no,
back to Chris.
There's two things. I actually agree with him a little bit on the Jason Light thing. Now, again, we talked about this before the season started, that there's only one football to go around. But we were basing that on the fact that Austin Seferian Jenkins was going to be here, Charles Sims was going to be healthy, Doug Martin was going to be healthy, and things like that. That's bad luck on Jason Light's part. There's not a whole lot he can do there. But at the same time, you know, the wide receiver is a position that certainly, you know, in hindsight, I think Jason Light would say maybe I should have addressed a little bit more, and the safety position as well. They re-signed Conte and gave the restricted free agent deal to McDougal, one-year deals, as a kind of prove-it type deal, which means they weren't sold on those guys as being long-term answers.
It also means they didn't see better players available that they could bring in.
Well, in their assessment, they have, you know.
Of course, in their assessment, what the fuck else are they going to go by, man? Well, That's what they're paid to do.
But obviously, these free agents were signed by other teams, so other teams felt they were good. It's a calculated error on his part. I'm not saying that he should be fired, but I'm saying if he can be wrong.
He can absolutely be wrong. The thing that I want fans to realize is that this isn't fucking Madden. They don't have a score next to their name that's well, this guy's a 98 speed and this guy's a 96 tackle, so I should go get him.
They actually do.
Not a real one that's bullshit.
Well, it's their evaluation from the front office. That's your evaluation.
If his evaluation of
Eric Weddle is a 75 and Eric Weddle plays as a 95, then he was dead wrong. He was dead wrong not to go get him.
I don't disagree with that, but that assessment isn't as binary or black and white as people seem to make it out, as I think you are characterizing it as.
I'm not characterizing.
We cut DJ Swearinger because he was bullshit here, and then he goes out and plays well, and everyone goes, well, God, why did we ever cut DJ Swearinger? Because he was fucking bullshit here.
Well, he whatever the reason was, but you can make a mistake. I mean,
absolutely.
There's plenty of players who have went from this team and went on to have success. Now, that's not just based on talent. Sometimes it's scheme. And the rest of the locker room and all those factors. I get that. But again, there were glaring positions. I mean, there were glaring weaknesses that
we
all knew about. And they gambled that Adante Dye is that speed guy, as the caller mentioned. They gambled that Lewis Murphy is going to come back and contribute. They weren't expecting Vincent Jackson to have the issues he wore. They certainly didn't expect Doug Martin's hamstring to fall out of his leg barely running a play.
No, clearly, Mark. Or knuck, knuck, knuck. It's not a contract year, so his hamstring really isn't that hurt. He just doesn't care,
right?
He because these players don't care. So I'm sorry, Craig. We went into an argument over here.
Like we relied on Kenny Bell. Everybody read everything last year. The guy's the best guy in practice. Best guy in practice.
Ain't
we all thought he could take the top off the system. The guy was unbelievable at Nebraska. He stunk. He was bad.
He wasn't great at Nebraska, and he wasn't great in practice, and he was a fifth-round draft pick.
He's had some things backfire on him, and it's come to, well, this is why we're shorthanded in a lot of different areas as well, too. You know, they're doing all they can with what they have, but people just want results. I just think especially the Rams game, I think, is a big frustration. You had a team that could barely put up a point, and they hung 36, 30, or 39 that game, whatever. And, you know, you put up enough points to win that game. You just couldn't make a stop versus Case Keenum. And, again, last year, he lit us up on Thursday night football as well, too. And that's where the frustration is with the fans, I think, as well, too.
I want to address that concept.
And I think also, too, the frustration is we went to the Arizona game. We got lit up in Arizona. And everybody said, well, they read too much in their clippings and all that stuff, too. But since then, Arizona's been terrible. They had a 6-6 tie. They hung 40 on us. I think that's the frustration. There's so much potential with this team and what they could do if they just would just step up and make a play. Last week, as bad as everything was going, they had a chance to make a stop. And just unfortunately, in the last 3 or 4 years, the Bucs haven't come up with that stop or that key play to push themselves in a position to make the season where November, December games actually mean a ton, where – you know, we have a December game where, like, hey, if we win this, we clinch a wild card, or we're right in it. We're not worried about, hey, tanking it because we want to get the number one pick.
Okay, Craig. Hey, listen, I appreciate you calling in. I want to respond to some of your points, but and when we do this,
Derek, I'll see you at the Carolina game.
All right,
I'll
see
be
you there.
Right near you.
All right, see you, brother. Bye. Listen, something I've said 1,000 times, and you guys feel free to disagree with me. I do want to make sure that I let you know Spent agrees with your point, or she got your point when I was arguing with you. Many people think that Spent and I always think the same thing. It's not true. In fact, quite often, most of the time, I would say we don't agree on things. But
by the way, Spen, I had a cafe con leche recently, and I know why you go to Brocato's all the time for that. So thumbs up.
She just said that if you want to know a player's true potential, you should have Belichick scout him because he's apparently very good at it, which is a very good point. The fan base making these sort of false equivalences between, well, Case Keenum lit us up and he's terrible, and making that be a data point. Or Arizona, they destroyed us and now they suck. At some point, maybe it's the only hope I have before I stop podcasting. And it's going to go unanswered, Chris. I can already tell how this is going to go. You guys will realize that the difference between the great teams and the shit teams is a fraction of an inch. Mm-hmm. That any given Sunday thing is not a trite aphorism. It is the fucking truth. It is as close to gospel as there is in football.
The Browns will win a game this year.
And you know what? They may even beat the shit out of someone. Yeah. Maybe even with Josh McCown or with some other guy who has just QB7 on his jersey because right. They don't even fucking have letters left because they've gone through so many quarterbacks in Cleveland.
Right.
Right? So I know it's frustrating, and Craig's a great guy, and the Buckaholics out there, the West Coast Buck fans, all you guys that travel all over, I find it very interesting that people think that they are owed something. They're not. It is a game. It is a skill game. You hope for good things, and I do find it funny that people understand that when they go to Hard Rock, right? But they don't understand it when they come to a football game. Not everyone's a Patriots fan, and guess what? The Patriots fans that exist now went through a lot of shit when they sucked in the Steve Grogan era and the Jim Plunkett era in New England.
They were really
and before
bad
that,
for a long
they
time.
They were fucking terrible, right? Teams get terrible. We won a Super Bowl. We had a period of time where we were a dominant team, a 10-win team, year in and year out, in discussion constantly. Yes, we have fallen from that pedestal. Do I think that you owe this team anything? No, only in so much as I want to have a team here. That's my big beef, right? But for anyone to sit there and think that the team owes them more than what they're doing, to me, is just fucking ludicrous.
It made a difference for me going to games when this team was shit, right? Early Dungy, and getting shit thrown at me from Packers fans and being the minority at a game, right? When it was all Bears and it was Minnesota
sure.
fans.
And yeah, the old NFC Central days. Absolutely.
Second row in the end zone. When they got there, right, when they made it and they finally got over that hump and they made it to the Super Bowl, it made it more sweet for me as a fan because I went through that shit.
Absolutely.
So we've been going through this shit for a long time. It's, I think, still potentially going in the right direction. It's 7 games into the season. We can't judge. I get fan frustration with it, but the product on the field, in my opinion, I get, you know, this backup quarterback beat us and all this, which those talking points, I understand. But it's early. It's entertaining mm-hmm. football. Holy shit, that was one of the most entertaining football games I've seen this entire year. Even as shitty as the result was at the end, I was at the edge of my... I told my wife, I'm like, I have not been this entertained watching this Buccaneers team, regardless of the effort, because it was back and forth. At any given moment, one play away, either one of those teams would have won the game.
Right.
Oh my God, he missed another 50-yard field goal. They're back in it. And oh, he missed another one. I can't believe this is happening. That was entertaining football. People, I understand, want to pay for wins, but my opinion, I could be different from anybody else. You pay for the experience, right? And you pay for the memories, and you pay for hanging out with your friends at the games and all that. And that, I think, still is a factor with all.
Mark Cook just texted me and said he doesn't pay for anything.
That's a fact. Never. I can attest that. Now, Nuck Nuck, you're a better egg than
yes,
he is.
Yes.
But Mark
yes.
Cook is a cheap fuck. He really
yeah.
is. He doesn't.
I mean, every
he doesn't
time
pay for
we go out, he's like, "Oh man, I left my wallet at home." So he's a bastard like that. Damn gingers. Can't trust him.
So Pinnacle asked in the chat room, and I don't know that the chat room is a great source for this, how many of those Bucks fans are going to the games. And a lot of people, and listen, this is one of those places where I am conflicted. We've said it before. I respect people that say they're going to vote with their wallet. They don't agree with the direction of the program. They vote with their wallet. I have said before, I can't do that. While I respect the intellectual position, I can't do that. I've got to be at the game. If I miss a game, and I've only missed one, I think, in, shit, 13 years. Home game, I feel like I have fucked up because of the experience. Now, for me, the game is beyond the, you know, the whistles to whistle, right? It's more than that. It's a game day experience, and that's why I'm fortunate to have a group like What the Buck, that we go out there and we tailgate, and we have all this great stuff, and not everyone has access to that. I mean, all you guys who come to the games can, but the reality of the situation is you don't get a chance. It's like going on a date, right? That's like saying, I'm only going to go on a date if I'm going to get laid.
Well, why else would you?
I don't want to ask your efficacy rate before you were a happily married man, Mark, but I'm going to guess it wasn't 100%. Right?
Well,
or
I
Nuck
mean,
Nuck, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, Mark Cook just texted and said it was 100%, but for Nuck Nuck, no, it was about 11%.
Yeah.
What am I saying? I didn't get laid till I got married.
See, there you have it. But for some reason in football, people think that they can just go, oh, well, I paid to come see a win, right? We win the games. But anyway.
3 wins since 2. I mean, I'm gonna just go with the opposite equation just to be an arguer here.
Sure.
I you know, listen, the fans' frustration is a real thing. I understand it. 3 wins versus 16 losses since, what, 2014, something like that. I mean, that's, you know, that's Cleveland Brown bad. And you know what? We can stop saying Cleveland Brown bad and start saying Buccaneer bad, because it is Buccaneer bad.
I love
bad.
That you say stop saying that and start saying Buccaneer bad. We lived through years where it was Buccaneer bad. 0-26 is still something people throw at us. Mm-hmm. When the Lions managed to go 0-16, we were still getting shit tossed at us. Mm-hmm. It's our history. We are a bad football team historically. We had a good run.
But there's one trophy. Right.
There's a trophy. Right. And when we brought it up to the Oakland Raiders fans, they said, yeah, we got three. And we said, yeah, but you don't have this one.
Right.
Right? And so when, fuck when, you and your three trophies.
And when was your last one?
Yeah, I mean, wipe the dust off the last one you won.
I was going to say, if they have to show it on a 30 for 30, then it's kind of past. You know, if it's on History Channel, it doesn't count in my book.
Yeah. So now let's talk a little bit about Aguayo. We haven't talked about Aguayo. And my man Chris just said he wears a Craig Erickson jersey with pride. That's strong. Craig Erickson Bucks jersey is strong. We actually check for obscure jersey. We saw a Marcus Jones jersey.
I've got a Casey Weldon jersey.
You do not have a Casey Weldon.
I have Mark Cook actually has a Trent Dilfer jersey, though, the white one.
Oh, really? The white Trent? That's nice. It was probably still white because he was never sacked. Oh, wait.
Ever.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Aguayo. It's the elephant in the room. It's
Ricky or Roberto?
Let's talk about Roberto Aguayo, knock, knock.
Okay.
Pinnacle says he has to drink before we start this conversation. So you trade up, you go after the big swinging dick from the collegiate ranks. You think you've got a guy who can score, who can become a weapon, not just in field goals, but also in positioning of kicks, all that sort of stuff. It has not worked out. The fans are going crazy. There's pressure. Everyone knows that kicking is a mental game. What is he, the worst kicker in the league? Or Nugent is the other one who's almost as bad as him. You had some data, I thought, earlier, Chris, about
this. Is that Nugent?
It is Ted Nugent, yes.
He's 58%, I believe, this year. I looked at it earlier today. I don't. The next kicker.
Approaching Kyle Brenza.
The next kicker. It was Kyle Brenza, actually. Crappy. It was 58%. I believe the next kicker is at 70%. It goes back. It goes. Because we're still at a small sample size, right? So this transitions.
I'm sorry. What is this sample size you speak of? Please give some backdrop for people.
So it's true. I mean, these numbers are fluctuating week to week. Your top kickers are your Justin Tuckers and your Adam Vinatieri.
And your Sebastian Janikowski's, of course.
Not.
But before he missed those two, where was he though?
Yeah, he's up
where
there.
Was he before he missed those two? Because in math, with small denominators,
sure, yeah, it makes a bigger difference.
Why are we explaining basic math? Didn't they do the No Child Left Behind? And aren't people smart now?
No,
fuck.
I have a 15-year-old. They're not smart. I mean, Mark Cook does. I don't have any kids.
Knuck knuck. No. So what do you guys say in the chat room? Listen, cut Aguayo. Stop kicking any field goals and extra points. Go for two every play or every touchdown. You know, the choices are relatively limited. They're probably not going to give up on the guy they traded up for. They're going to keep working unless he gets a mysterious hamstring injury, which is certainly something that could happen.
I do think that will happen.
I thought it was going to happen this game.
So
much of the anger was warming up in the kicking net, and I looked down and he was not.
Okay.
But that made me do a triple take.
Well, a hamstring will happen at some point if this team is in challenging. And they were, I think the previous caller said that we haven't been in November. Last year they were, 500 going into November and lost the last four games. So they were in contention last season.
Are you bringing facts into this argument again?
Now,
by the way, Janikowski was 13 of 16 before those two misses.
Yeah,
so.
And he's only misses that he's had this year have been 50
over
and above.
50, yeah.
And he's kicked more, he's had more 50-yard field goal attempts than any other kicker in the league right now, right?
So he's terrible.
He's left-footed a lot.
Well, I mean, he's consistently.
The tweet of the day during the game was when he missed the first field goal. I forgot who it was who tweeted. It was like, way to waste that first round of draft pick.
Well, he's consistently 78 to 86. He fluctuates each year, but that's about where he's been for the last amount of years. Now, I would kill right now for an 82% field goal percentage because I think that's a difference of a couple wins versus losses right now. The trend, and I don't know, I don't know how much time you want to spend on the kicker. I pointed out this trend before the draft. I don't care. You can't go back and change the pick. You're stuck with them, right?
Yeah. So what do you do moving forward?
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't go back and say, yeah, they should have drafted Von Bell or they should have drafted John Bullard, who was my guy out of Florida, because it would make a difference. We can't change it, right? But there is data.
If you have a flux capacitor,
you can.
Oh,
that's a good point.
That's
a good point. Mr. Fusion.
What is
exactly.
Mr. Fusion? 86 miles per hour?
88 miles per hour.
By the way, that movie was only 1 year off on the Cubs winning the World Series prediction, by the way.
That's right.
If they win.
Mark watched the kid kick a long time.
Skip just said you can't be missing point afters.
Correct.
What is the point after rate for success since they moved it back?
It's still mid-90s. I would guess.
Anyone in the chat room want to look? Mark's going to look it up. He's got his Mac. He can do that fast.
Tablet. You can do it.
I bet it's lower. I bet it's lower.
So
it has to be.
There is whatever gets fixed. Mark said this a million times on his 620. All his or no, the other guy, the Mark Cook, just texted me and said he talked about this all the time on 620. It's not going to get fixed right now. It's something that's going to take the offseason. We have to deal with what we have right now. The trend that I was concerned with, and whatever, and I can maybe I'll be right. I was wrong about Mike Evans because I thought that was a terrible draft pick, and I'm proven wrong. It's okay to admit that you're wrong. The trend that was concerning to me, because I think our biggest problem that we had a kicker last year was 40 to 49, right? And Barth wasn't accurate.
Right.
And that could cost you a game or two, and you want to get in that range, it should be automatic. The 40 to 49 percentage has decreased every single year in Aguayo's career, starting as a freshman, 88 to 75 to 57 to 40. Currently, that was the trend that was concerning to me prior to this. I can't change it. You can only hope that it gets better. The data to me points out that it's not.
94.2 last year when they moved it back. That was the first year moving it back.
And what was it the year before they moved it back?
99.3.
It doesn't equate blocks either. You know, I mean, a kicker gets them blocked. It's not always on the kicker.
This is point after touchdown.
Right, no extra points.
I mean, they do get blocked, but I think it's a statistically insignificant number.
Okay, all right.
But still, a 99 to a 94 drop is non-trivial on the number of point after touchdowns in the league.
Sure.
Right, and that's the point. That's what they wanted to do, right? I don't have an issue with it. The thing is, we talked about this, and I want you to go back to your numbers because your numbers are really important. But we see more misses because they made them harder to kick.
That was the point.
That's the fucking point. Backed up by data, right?
Yeah.
They can't be automatic because guess what? They're not automatic anymore. They're a fucking field goal. And field goals, by definition, are not automatic. Otherwise, you would get in the field goal range and then go, hey, we'll take that free field goal, thanks, and you'd walk the fuck off the field.
I'll tell you, when you're kicking from the 2.5-yard line and you're kicking the old extra point, factors like weather, wind, and things don't come into it nearly as much as when you're backing it up and making it 31 yards. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, it's just, I'm from Plant City.
Where plus the barometric pressure from and the curvature of the earth.
Nook Nook's from Keysville, but so he's not really a physicist, but or a rocket scientist or a doctor. But the fact is, I mean, you know, wind is going to play a part in it and things like that. But it's the mental part of it so much, too.
Yep.
Again, you know, kickers should never, ever, ever, ever miss the old extra points. Mark actually texted me this just a minute ago and told me that he used to tell his son last year when he was struggling a little bit with extra points, you should be able to lay the ball sideways on a 2-inch kicking tee like they have in high school. And still kick the ball through because it's so you have to almost try and miss an extra point from that distance. But from 31 or 32, whatever it is, it's considerably different. And just the view of just the thought, and it gets in your head, you know, it's different and you know, you're not supposed to, and people are going to hammer the shit out of you when you do miss it, which also plays into the mental part of it as well,
regardless of when he was taken
or irregardless.
I don't care. I'll say it.
Irregardless, you used to be in the dictionary.
It's your job. Your one job outside of kicking the ball into the end zone.
Just kicking it through the uprights.
He's kicking it through the damn uprights.
Mm-hmm. Yep, agreed.
Right? We don't have a kicker who can do it right now. Guess what? He's stuck until this magical hamstring happens and Kai Forbath comes back and kicks 75%.
The mighty Kai Forbath.
But, well, he was in the top 30% or the top 30 in overall accuracy in college kickers, but he's out of the league right now. So you're
saying he's available.
He is available. We're stuck because there's no good kickers in the fucking top 30.
Morton Anderson could probably still kick.
Yeah, he probably could. But we're stuck with what he is right now unless this magical hamstring pops up. I don't give a shit anymore. I think people have moved on, I think, at this point. I think it's comical. I wish the kid could make kicks. It's not going to get fixed. I think it's a trend. I think it's a horrible draft pick. I can't change it. Oh, well, move on, right? And hope he gets it fixed in the offseason. They're going to bring in competition, I would think, to push him potentially. But this is what we have right now.
Brent, listen, yeah. I love you. You're fucking wrong. He says he doesn't believe the mental thing. It's a technique thing. When it comes to kickers, all of these guys at that level have the skills. They know how to do it. I assure you, with 100% certainty, when they start to suck, it is absolutely mental.
Now, to Brent's point, when you get into these mental
lapses, you start
lapses,
to change the way you kick.
Exactly.
Right, but it's chicken and egg.
Right.
Right? So
the data points to it's not going to get fixed, okay? And that's what my biggest gripe with it
was. You mean the data points to it's not going to get fixed this season? Because the data, I think, points to Janikowski's first year versus year 15.
I don't
it's
care
considerably
about,
different.
I don't care about what another kicker has done. I don't care about a Vinatieri missed 10 field goals his first year in the NFL. It doesn't mean shit. What has Aguayo done? He has gotten worse every single year he's been kicking. That's all I care about. I don't care about the 31 other kickers in the league. This is our guy's kicking 58% field goals. His job is to kick it between the uprights, and data has shown for him he's got worse every year. So it's a trend. I don't
worse,
care what
worse
Vinatieri
from
is
not
doing.
Missing a kick. Worse from never missing a kick is for yeah. Well, he's it's only miss, one way to go down. He's not going to get any better than his
well,
first
he didn't
year.
Miss,
yeah, but yeah. The data he gave it was 5 data points, wasn't it 5?
Well, there's from 40 to 49. Yeah. He made everything 39 and less, but anything 40 and above, and in the NFL you got to kick at 40. And the excuse that was given is that well the hash marks in college are different. In the NFL those would have gone through the uprights. Well, they're not, right? So I hate that Janikowski missed this many field goals. It's a completely different player. You throw that shit out. It doesn't make a difference. I don't understand why that argument is brought in. Sorry, Narc Nook, to bring that up. No, I care about the good. One player no, who's
I understand what you're saying, but I completely disagree.
And we can all disagree, and Brent, you can continue to disagree. No one tried to imply that he was a Jedi and uses his mind to put the ball through the uprights. I firmly
he
believe,
try that, though.
Based on my body of knowledge, that your assessment that this is only a technique thing is not the point. I think you're wrong. I think it's mental. I think it's always been mental with kickers. And that may be one of those when we just go to our grave disagreeing with each other, right? You could argue that the technique made him miss once. Maybe he had a weird ball scratch and he kicked differently and then he can't figure it out. But I think when you've kicked as long as he has, you know how to kick it. It's muscle memory. It's like a golf swing. That's always the analogy that everyone uses. I think it's a very apt analogy, right? But I just get him drunk, man, whatever. But I agree with you, Chris. I don't think it's going to change this season for sure. I wouldn't be surprised to see an injury that happened in practice, maybe had a nasty spill in the commissary, and then the mighty Kai Forbath comes in to kick.
Well, I can ask. I know Mark Cook is texting into the show. I know that Dirk's continuously asked about it, and I think the bigger question is if the game's on the line, right, and you're fighting for 500 or whatever it might be, this week, let's say it comes down to a field goal, right, and you have to make the decision, are you going to try and get the first down on a 4th-and-1 and it's a 40-yard field goal to win the game? Or
no,
are you
he's
gonna,
kicking.
You're going to let the kick kick.
Dirk said it again yesterday.
Well, he can
if
say
they're,
it.
If the, well, I agree. Okay, I see what you're saying. If they're on the roster, they're going to, you know, we're going to do what we would do based on those players. We're going to assume that they're going to do their job. And you can almost prove that point going back to that Carolina game when they ran the ball on 3rd-and-9 to
and
attempt
set
a field
kick.
Goal. Right. Yeah. You know, and you know.
And by the way, in my opinion, Dirk is right to do that. As soon as you change your play calling because you don't have any confidence in your kicker, you've doomed your kicker.
You've doomed a lot of things potentially in that locker room. You doom your relationship with your general manager, who this pick is 100% on. Somebody said, how much longer is Dirk going to go with? Dirk's going with the guys that he has no roster say-so.
Pinnacle, don't bet those season tickets. You'll lose them. Just telling you. He said he bet his season tickets. He's not going to kick it. You have, as a coach, on a possession where you think the field goals come in, go range.
I mean, listen, if it's a 51-yarder, maybe he's going for it on 4th-and-1.
He checks with his staff, he checks with the kicker, and then he makes the call. But he would make the same call that he would have made before. He's not going to say, well, because Aguayo has played like dog shit this season, I'm going to say we're only in go range, which is a 35-yard field goal. Right? That's just not going to happen. We had a guy who did that before.
And end well. I think Dirk is a stubborn guy to the point where he would almost be like, go out there, make the kick, miss it. Told you, Jason.
Yeah.
You know, told you, Jason. Yeah. You know, time to get a new kicker.
Yeah.
Because Dirk is very,
he can't
very.
Change it otherwise.
He's a stubborn guy. You know what I mean? He's you know, we're learning these little nuances of Dirk versus, you know, in his press conferences and then the way he, I mean, he said it the other day. Scott asked him the question after the game on Sunday about why didn't you had three time, you know, I think you had three timeouts, but right before the half.
Yeah.
You let the time go down. It was minute 38, something like that. And you know, he says, well, you know, look, I got the decision I made. We were up, you know, 7 points at that point, 10-3. You know, we were on our 11-yard line. It's not like we were grinding it out at that point. So, you know, I decided to go into the half with that.
Well, and the other thing that people don't take into consideration, and the following question wouldn't have been answered because Dirk doesn't answer questions like that, which I have no issue with. They get the penalty, puts them back on the 11. Right, so they're in a bad down and distance anyway. Mm-hmm. They haven't looked particularly good. They've got the timeouts. The Raiders come out in essentially a deep cover two. They're very, very deep. So you've got a cutback back. You got a chance. If Rodgers gets a good gain. If they
if he gets
good
a 20-yard run right there, then
all of a sudden
they go
I've got my timeouts.
Mode.
Then we go into hurry-up mode, right? You can't look at just the one play. You have to look at strategy, not just tactics.
And you can go back to that Carolina game on that last drive. They were backed up virtually in the exact same position.
Yep.
Dirk chose to run it a couple times, but decided to put it in Jameis's hands on a one-receiver route, basically.
Yep.
And he made a great throw to Mike Evans there. And, of course, they went down and they scored and the game over.
I would love to see the data on that because it's always the first play is always going to be a running play. In those situations, when you're up, And you're backed up with the ball, I would wager
I guess
more than 50% of that play is a running play on first down.
Yes.
With two choices, you think more than 50%?
Well, I'm saying, though.
That's a dangerous thing to go on, boy.
I'm saying overall.
And I know you don't like talking college football, but Jimbo is notorious for this as well. Jimbo, when they're backed up, he's an aggressive play caller too, but there's been a couple times this year, same situation. He said, hey, you know, if Dalvin breaks, and he said exactly what you said, if Dalvin breaks one here for 25 yards, okay, now we're in go mode.
We flip the play call over, we go. Well, Chris, you were trying to say
I was saying, though, my stat was, you look at all 32 teams, sure. And you look across, and you look at the situation where they're up, and I'm not saying, you know, run past 50%, but I'm saying I would think the majority of the time it's feeling out what they can do on that first down, and then make the decision from there.
But there are coaches who, I'll be damned, have that much confidence and that cocky that they're going to chunk the ball around there.
Do you mind if we transition to an earlier topic that we
No, not at all,
about?
Man. Because this is our thing. Right? We still got tons of people in the chat room.
Because
Nuck's about to pass out. But
yeah, I'm about done. Right.
Well, I do
he
think...
He can cash out.
That's fine. That's fine.
You can get back and see Mark Cook at home.
I got to get Mark over. He's got a dentist appointment tomorrow at 9.
Okay.
There were a couple things that I think the direction has been going with, you know, get rid of Gerald McCoy, get rid of Doug Martin, all this stuff going on. And they're paid this X amount of money. It's a bad contract. I think that's been a lot of the talking points. And I told you so. See, this was a bad deal. This guy's hurt. How these contracts are still structured. And I said to you, Derek, earlier this week, I almost wish. I hate this, too, because I think Gerald's a very important cog on this football team. I said cog, C-O-G.
Cog.
I almost want them to get rid of him just to shut people up and say, now look, right? Look at what happened. But we basically, as fans, have a year and a half left of Doug Martin and Gerald McCoy, and the team can basically get off scot-free and say, you're done, because it's a $12.25 million cap savings in the 2000 going into 2018. If they get rid of Gerald McCoy, they owe $500,000 in dead money. Okay, I hate to throw out actual facts. 6.75 is the number that comes off for Doug, right?
He still uses fax machines.
Well, you're
different fax.
So there's your $20 million right there, right? If you want to go out and be these big spenders, right. And you got all that money now, right? You get rid of Gerald, you get rid of Doug.
Guess who has the most cap space going into next
that's
year?
The Bucks. Yeah. And they can clear more when they have, you know, the Jameis contract.
Approximately
and the contract.
$59 million they'll have.
But Chris,
next year.
you're concerning me, because what I've heard from Twitter is that the Bucks don't know their ass from a hole in the ground with contracts. They're wasting money on these guys who have an injury pattern air bunnies, which doesn't fucking exist, and they're wasting money. Is that not what you seem
there
to
is,
think is happening?
There is no one who I think can convince anyone else to tell me, and look, running backs get hurt, right? Doug, the two seasons, five games over the last 2 years, and he's hurt, right? There's nothing you can do about it. Adrian Peterson's hurt right now, too. How much does that guy make? $10 million, $8 million, whatever it is, highest paid running back in the league. Jonathan Stewart is the second highest paid, I believe, gets paid a shit ton of money, right? This team is a better football team when Doug Martin is on the field.
It's not true. Their running backs are dime a dozen.
They're terrible. Both him and Sims. Run them out of town.
We'll see when Peyton Barber is the leading rusher Thursday night if they're dime a dozens.
A la the Denver Broncos in their heyday.
Yeah. I can only evaluate Doug Martin when he's on the field, right? You can't just magically create analysis on someone if he's not playing the game of football.
You can't.
This team is better with him on the football field. I don't know how you can't deny that. This team is a better defense when Gerald McCoy is on the football field. I don't give a shit that they beat Carolina and he was out, and if you want to use that, that's absolute horse shit. But this
no,
is
they're
a different
better team. And now, just for the sake of argument, you can argue, okay, they're a better football team, but they still suck. They still lost the game. They still haven't been to the playoffs since Gerald McCoy's been on this team. They've had one winning season. So, you know, I can see the frustration from the fans' perspective that does a defensive tackle win you a Super Bowl? I can argue that without Warren Sapp, the Buccaneers don't win the Super Bowl, but I can't say that, you know, and use that in the same Gerald thing, because they're two different guys, and I think Sapp was just an exceptional player. But, you know, but I don't think the Buccaneers are going to win or not win a Super Bowl because of Gerald McCoy. But again, now you're saying we're going to get rid of Gerald McCoy and go draft a guy that we hope is as effective or as good. And you know, Mike Smith talked about it. We have conference calls every week with the opposing coaches.
You mean Mark Cook does?
Yeah. That's
Did
what
he
I
tell
meant.
You about it, Nuck Nuck?
No, yeah, he just texted me. And he said that almost every one of the opposing coaches, when Gerald McCoy, or when they ask about the defense, you know, the first person they always mention is Gerald McCoy and the fact that we are going to circle where Gerald McCoy is on the field at all times.
How did he look against the 49ers?
I don't remember. Mark was watching that game. I was drunk in a whorehouse in Saigon.
No. Regardless, if people want their wish in 1.5 seasons from now, right? Mm-hmm. And look, Gerald McCoy is coming toward the end of his career. He's not in his prime anymore, right? This team did nothing to help him or Lavonte David over the last X amount of years except re-sign them, because God forbid that you draft guys and actually keep them around, and the 16 coaching staff changeovers that you had over the last X amount of years is going to lead to losing players.
You are damned if you do, damned if you don't, if you're Jason Light and Mark Dominic with some of these, some of us, I guess maybe not Dominic, but let's just go with the last three guys that you mentioned, with Doug and Gerald and also
Lavonte.
I mean, if you don't, then the rest of your locker room is looking around saying, damn, our best players, you draft, you develop, and then you're done with them because you don't want to pay them. Make no mistake, that makes a difference inside that locker room. Number two, then you've got an entire different segment of the fan population losing their mind because, again, you're getting rid of quality players. The idea is to give guys second contracts. That means you did a great job scouting, evaluating, and coaching up a guy for 5 years if he's a first-round draft pick. You want to give every guy you draft a second contract. Yeah.
And outside of DeMar, who wasn't drafted by this team, I believe those are the only three guys out of how many years now going back that have earned a second contract with this team. And guess what? That's not a winning formula, and you're trying to win football games is not keeping the guys around that you drafted that you want to build your foundation of. But you know,
Nuck Nuck, do you know from your discussions with Mark Cook, when you change staff, coaching staff, does your recruiting team, does your scouting team, does all that stuff change? Or are those guys part of the administration building and they stay and the new coaching staff just have to deal with their assessments? Or is there sort of a hybrid? How would you characterize the way the assessment process for the Buccaneers as a franchise has gone through this tumultuous period with multiple head coaches and regimes?
Well, it changes if the general manager gets fired, because then the new GM wants to bring in his guys. And there were some guys let go, but there were some guys that were kept on, a lot of the scouts and things like that.
Especially
were kept
regional
on.
Guys, right?
Yeah, yeah. When Jason got here, I'm sure he sat down with all these guys. Sure. He also went back and looked at the draft records, right? Okay, who's the guy that actually Dominic fired, the guy that wanted Brian Price. But the point is, I mean, examples like that, you go back and look and see how their players have panned out or how the people have panned out that they have been, you know, banging the table for. And so then there are some changes made as far as that goes. But you know, normally it's you know, the general manager tends to get two head coaches. And after that, they kind of get gone. If you look at kind of the history of the league as far as general managers, they tend to get another head coach. I don't know that Jason Light does. I mean, if the Glazers go crazy and the Bucks finish, ends up 3-13, you know, Dirk Cutter could be fired. No doubt about it. I mean, it absolutely could be fired. At that point, Jason Light could very well be on the chopping block as well.
I can say with no fear of going back on it, if the Glazers fired Dirk Cutter after what he's already done this season, even if the team ends up with that record, they are the dumbest motherfuckers in the universe. It would be one of the dumbest things I have ever witnessed in sport and potentially outside of it. I am not saying it's outside of the realm of possibility, mind you.
Right.
That doesn't make it, as a mental exercise, so offensive intellectually that I wasn't just moved to want to hit something.
Well, let's say Dirk completely loses the locker room. Let's say there's a revolt. Let's say Dirk has a complete and utter meltdown at a press conference.
Takes a shit on the 50-yard line.
And instead of telling me to ask original questions, comes down there and punches me. Then he's, you know, then I understand him getting fired after 1 year. 3-13 would
punches,
be tough.
If he punches Nuck Nuck, that's fine. If he punches Mark Cook, who's a legitimate media member, that would be a problem.
Well, Mark punches back.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
Mark can only reach Dirk's waist, though.
It's all right. That's the target zone.
Nice.
Right
by
below
the way,
the waist.
Apparently it's tied in Cleveland, 6-6.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Come on, Cubbies.
Mark Cook is pissed right now somewhere.
I bet he
Pinecrest.
Is. All right, listen. I want to thank everyone for listening to this thing. Now, Chris, did you have other stuff from earlier you want to bring back? Because I'm fine to keep going. I live here. You guys have to drive. Nuck Nuck has to drive all the way to Keysville, and no one knows where that really is. And you have to drive over to South Lakeland.
It's near North Dakota.
Gotcha.
No, I think we have said, I think we have done the Lord's work this evening. I think we have said a lot. I'll close with my opinion. And I did this for a while, and I get reaction, and I get the reasons why, you know, on Sunday nights, everyone's fired up about it. This was different for me after this game because I didn't understand what's going on the last 3 days. I didn't understand it. This was very entertaining football to me. I wish the Bucs would have won the football game, but the bullshit and everything that's come out from that, and blaming this person and blaming this person and talking about blowing up the whole thing and Jameis isn't a franchise quarterback. And I think, like you said it perfectly, Derek, probably about an hour ago, this is the reset button for everyone, because I think personally the people who listen to this podcast want to learn and put a little bit more effort than maybe just those who follow on Twitter and listen to whatever's out there, right? It's the reset button. I think everyone can calm the fuck down after this week, right? We even said there could be a defensive decline last week, which might have happened because a good team was coming in. And if they get blown out this week, I'm sure we're going to hear the same shit again. But I think it's good just to reset as a fan base, you know, take a step back, look at what's actually happening, like you've mentioned a couple times, and chill the fuck out and stop trying to call out the guys who, one, want to be on the field, and two, probably would be on 31 other teams as well. It doesn't, you know, how dare the guys make money in this league, because that's not what they're out there to do, and play well and perform and get paid for doing so.
Well, the fans, you know, we know the fans, all player salary come only from ticket revenue.
Absolutely.
The TV, $1 billion TV contract has nothing to do with it. No.
All right. Well, I thank you guys for tuning in, for staying with us, especially for this 2+ hours of Bucks talk. We'll get both of these, or I'll get both of these up this evening before I go to bed. You'll have two of them. Mark, I would not post this one because you'll end up getting fired. Nuck Nuck, tell Mark not to post this one because he'll end up getting fired.
Right.
But I enjoyed it. Thank you guys. Thank all three of you, Mark Cook and then Nuck Nuck and then Chris from Bucksby Podcast, for coming out here. Thanks to folks in the chat room. Continue the discussion on Twitter. There were some questions about what I'm going to do day of game during the catch-up game. I will be doing the Periscopes again. People seem to like those. They're easy to do, so feel free to tune in. Let me know if you enjoy those things. For some reason on my phone, the video cache locally gets crapped up, so I can't go publish them anywhere else. It says it saves them, but it doesn't. So I'll try and reset my phone, but we'll do that on Twitter. You folks that are What the Buck folks, folks that are not fucks, it's different. That was Freudian.
Wow, you really don't like the fans.
For you folks that are Pewter Report folks, I encourage you, when we talked about being a better fan, right, that was a discussion, a narrative from earlier. The one thing that I would implore you to do to be a better fan is to take the time to become more educated. That doesn't mean you have to agree with me or Nuck Nuck or Chris or Mark Cook or Scott Reynolds. If you came at me and said, listen, I went back and watched all 22. Here are the screen captures. You're full of shit. Mike didn't face press coverage. Jameis had plenty of time to throw the ball. Gerald McCoy was never doubled. Right, all of these things that we can look at the goddamn tape and tell you. If you're not going to take that much time, if you're not going to go and do that, then take your ass the fuck down the road. Because that doesn't make you a fan. It makes you a clown. Don't just listen to what other people say. Double check it. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys tomorrow at the game, tailgate 4 p.m. We'll have a great time, great food, great drinks, great fun, and hopefully get a chance to watch these fucking Bucks win a game at home and shut some people up. I hope so.
And for 1 week.
I pray. For 1 week. Until they lose again. Thanks, guys. Bye.